Yeah. Great. Good. Thank you. good morning. Great to be here, isn't it? It's just a wonderful day again. We bless you all, and we're going to have a great time this morning. We've come around the Word of God. But my message this morning, I asked the question, is life worth living?
Yes.
Yes. A hearty yes. And I just feel that that's a question that's been asked since time began, hasn't it? Is life worth living? And we can all say yes, amen, it is. Life is worth living. But what we see in the world today is that many, many people take their life every day, and that's such a tragedy, isn't it? That they feel they have to take their lives. And while many others, through the pressures of life, they just seem to slip into a severe depression and that isolates them from life and everyone around them, while others, they turn to alcohol and drug-related habits, all that type of thing to help dull their very existence and to escape the reason to live. And so the question you may ask and about that, you ask the question, why? Why are people turning away from life? Why? Why are people turning away from life? Is it because that life is not worth living? No, life is worth living, isn't it? It is. And I feel that it's because many have reached that point in life, the point in life where these people who are trapped in their circumstances, feel that life is not worth living, and tragically things happen to them. So for us as a people, it's vitally important for us, isn't it, to have that self-belief and inner thinking and to be able to say, yes, life is worth the living because he lives. Amen? We used to sing a great chorus many years ago, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. And because I know he holds a future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. Amen? Amen. Amen. Daniel, is all fear gone? I know, I heard you went up, I seen the picture of you last night swinging from a bungee jump. This man's awesome. He had the courage to get up and go on a bungee jump, and had a bit of a phobia about fear heights and that, Daniel, that right? And so you conquered that, and you can say all fear is gone. You're an awesome man. That took a lot of inner stuff to get you up on there. I was watching up there, and I thought, he didn't even have time to get up to the top, and you looked as if they dumped you straight away. Didn't give you time to think. But my heart went up when you started coming down. But it was an awesome day. Bless you for your courage and what you've done. But I just trust that that will help you in life. But, you know, but life is worth the living because he lives, isn't it? We can say that with strength and confidence, and we can have that inner hope and feeling that because Jesus Christ is alive in me, because Jesus Christ is alive in you, we can face tomorrow, can't we? We always have that hope and look to the future that God is always there, no matter what. So we have that. And I feel Solomon was right when he said in Proverbs 23 verse 7, for as he thinks, so is he. And our thinking, you know, it has to be Christ-centered, doesn't it? That's the only way for us. There shouldn't be any other way or any other reason, because we are born again, spirit-filled men and women of God, young people, kids, all that sort of thing. And so for that type of people, that's what our life is all about, being Christ-centered and focused, to keep ourselves on track and not to be dragged down a pathway that leads to destruction. And it happens so much in life today, doesn't it? A lot of things where we see people's life just seem to fall apart and disintegrate. And all of us here, every person here this morning knows that we have an answer, amen? We have an answer, and we have a message to tell people out there who don't know Jesus Christ, that we can give them a message of hope, and we have a message that will lead them to a life in eternity, not a life there's only there's heaven and hell, isn't there? And it's a fact of life, and in the kingdom of God, that's how it is. And for those who know Christ, we have that hope. And but that's always our prayer. That's always our hope, isn't it? When people who don't know Jesus Christ, that's our hope, and what we want them to have their lives fulfilled, to know the Lord Saviour Jesus Christ. So at the end of the day, you know, they can say, well, all is well with my soul. And I do look forward to that life in eternity. And I'm not going to be tied up and bound up in fear about that. But we know that this message that we have, this message that Jesus came to save us, didn't he? He came, he told us that he is the good shepherd who will lay down his life for his sheep, and who would lead us to into a better way, because now God's mercy is upon us, isn't it? Before, we didn't have God's mercy in that sense, but we have that now that we've come to know Jesus Christ. You know, we have a firm understanding about God's love, grace, mercy, all his goodness, all those things that are upon our life, and we have that hope that in eternity of a life in Christ. But but what seems to happen, thousands of people give up on life just because they've never learnt to develop that inner self-belief, or they've never accepted that invitation to what a life in Christ Jesus has to offer. And we all know that as born-again believers. We know that. And it's probably easier to say, but for someone out there, we know how hard some people can be, how some people just don't want to hear the good news as we know it, to help them in life, to give them a better way and to get through life. But we know that the message of Jesus and what a life in Christ is for each one of us. So this morning, in this message, if you don't already know, or in areas you may be struggling with, I just trust that throughout the message this morning that you will grasp hold and discover the true worth of a life in Jesus Christ. And that's our message, isn't it? That's what we want to bring to the world today. But how do we do that? How do we go about living a fulfilled life, all that type of thing, being the people that God wants us to be and that? But even if you weren't a born-again believer, I think every person, I don't know about every person, but most people in life want to do good things, don't they? They want to do something to help someone somewhere. And one of those areas, I believe, is getting involved in the area of helps. You know, there are many, many things in our community that we can get involved with to help other people. We know even here in our church life, we can get involved in many areas of the church life and be just a blessing to our church and to God himself. But But to do that, you know, a lot of people just need to find fulfillment and self-esteem and to grow in confidence and of about how they will go about their everyday life. For some people, life is a breeze, isn't it? They just seem to fly in and out through things. They get full of life and vigor and do anything. Well, unfortunately, many people seem to struggle. A lot of people just struggle to get out of bed of a day. But for us, you know, we have a reason, you know, to live because he lives. And I don't know about all you people here, but I believe, you know, there are quite a few. There are many people in this church today who excel at helping others. And I could name many, and I could and would, but I would leave someone out and I'd be embarrassed. But, you know, bless all you people who excel at helping others, because that's what our life should be about. We need to be encouraging one another, uplifting one another, exhorting one another in every way. But too often we live only for ourselves, don't we? We can be a very selfish people. That's who we are. That's how we're made up. And people can be like that. They just live for themselves, think of nothing else but their own lives and what's going on in their life, and never think about someone next door to them or something like that, or someone in their family, and they just seem to keep on going their way and letting everyone else go their way. But I just believe, you know, we need to be excelling at helping other people, and especially because we're men and women of God. That's what God wants us to do. Amen. God wants us to do that. And so we live these self-centered lives, people can get stuck in that. And when things come up against them because they're self-centered, whether they're health issues, finances, jobs and family problems and disappointments in life, they become unhappy. And they get into that place, and a cycle just seems to start, and their lives just seem to spiral out of control because they're self-centered people, and they're not looking outward for help somewhere or whatever that needs to be or whatever it is. But we as believers, we just cry out to God, don't we? Or we should be. If we're not, well, we need to be, and doing that. But so what I'm saying, if life is only for ourselves, then life will let us down. It will, because there's nothing else. And we have an anchor, and our anchor is Jesus Christ, and we need to hold firm to that anchor and reach out to him. And so we need to be helping others, reaching out. And in the early history of our human race, in Genesis 4 verse 9, that's here as God speaking to Cain, and it says in verse 9, the Lord said to Cain, "Where is your brother?" And Cain asked, "Am I my brother's keeper? Am I my brother's keeper?" The answer, as it was then, and it's still the same today, what is it? Yes, you are your brother's keeper. You are your sister's keeper, because we are brothers and sisters in Christ. And the Word tells us that we need to bear one another's burdens, don't we? We need to be helping one another. We need to be concerned about one another. And Galatians 6 verse 22 tells us that. It says here, "Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ." Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. We are encouraged to do good, aren't we? We are encouraged to do good to others, and when you have an opportunity. And there are many, many opportunities. Every day something comes up where we can be of help to someone, where we can encourage someone, where some day where we can speak an encouraging word into someone's life, or you see someone struggling, or they just need help somehow, somewhere. Well, we just need to be there to the front straight away. And the word speaks about us being specially responsive to your brothers and sisters in Christ. And we as believers, brothers and sisters in Christ, we should be looking after one another, shouldn't we? We should be doing that, because it's a command there that we're encouraged to do that, and to be helping one another. And I think it's just a wonderful example of helping others. We know in Luke's Gospel, chapter 10, verses 37 there, it speaks about the parable of the Good Samaritan. You know that story well, how this person helped another in need. And so that was a parable that Jesus spoke about, and it encourages us. We get the whole message and picture there of what it means to help someone in need, where others just walk by and just don't go, I'm not going to help them, and the way they go about their life. But we see here in Luke, there was one person prepared to help another in need. And that's, if we see a need, we need to be helping one another, don't we? We just need to be doing that. And I suppose, have you ever helped someone and felt especially good about it? Yes. I'll give some moment. I'm going to ask someone, I don't know who. But I just always remember when we're in Western Australia, we're going over to Whitnam, I think, for a church camp, conference or something we had on. And we're on the way, and we come to the railway near Roy Hill Station. And that was a cattle station, not a train station. but we came to this crossing there, and there was this car stranded, and two young women were there, and they looked in distress, despair. And I got out and said, what's wrong? She said, oh, we hold a sump in the car. We hit a rock on the road and all the oil's gone out. And I thought, oh my goodness, how am I going to help? So I got under and had a look, and there's a hole in the sump. And I thought, oh well, the old bush mechanic had to come to the fore. So I got out my pocket knife and broke a branch off a tree, and I made the stick to the shape of the hole, and got a bit of rag or tape or something and put around it and bashed it in with a hammer and filled up their engine with oil again, and away they went. So I was really, really chuffed about that, and I was happy to be able to help someone. And I think we met them in Perth a few months later. And I said, did you get your sump fixed? She said, no, it was never leaked again. So I felt really good about that. Anyone here? If someone put the hand up quick, who wants the big game and come and tell us how you really helped, be able to help someone, you felt really good about it? Yes, Andrew. Well, bless you, Andrew. You've heard Andrew. It's a good opportunity to join us on Wednesday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
If it wasn't for you, I know I don't think I'd be here. You're the dad, you know, you're the granddad or the father in the church, and you're the one, you know, that really excites me to come. And I really thank you.
Thank you, Andrew. I bless you for that. And Andrew really encourages me, him, his brothers, Paul and young Shannon. They've been here nearly every week for the last 5 or 6 weeks at least. But look, come and join us on to this week, men. I'd really appreciate that. But so being able to help someone in that way, you feel good. There's a satisfaction, a goodness comes, and you're happy. Anyone else like to try? Shouldn't have to try too hard. Yes, Heather.
An elderly lady at the supermarket, she was really struggling to get her groceries out of the basket up onto the counter. So I put them up there on the counter, and then I helped her out to the car, and I loaded all the groceries in the car, and then she turned around and just gave me this great big hug, and she just thanked me, and she started crying. Yeah. So I cried too.
So little simple acts like that, you know. We see people, we see elderly people struggle and things like that. We shouldn't be shy, because the good Samaritan, he didn't hold back. He wasn't shy. And we need to be a people like that, just ready to reach out and to help someone. So, you know, each of us, we have a responsibility to find where we're needed and where we can help in this life. It's so much needed. So, and this is as Christian, as believers. You know, this is Christianity in its purest form, and it's a great asset to be able to help people like that. And as I said a moment ago, that Christianity is a way of life, isn't it? It's not just something some religious thing we do because we have to. We come here, we worship God, we praise God because we want to. That's the desire of God's heart, and that is the desire that God has built into us, that this outward expression of His love, grace, mercy, all those things, the fruits of the spirits, will flow out of us because of what God's done in our life. And as I said, it's not a ritualistic thing we do in that sense, that we do it because we have to. We do it because we want to, because Christ loves us. And Jesus said, I am the way. That's the way, our way of life. And for us, there is no other life, is there? No other life. And that way, Romans 14:8 tells us, for if we live to who? We live to the Lord, don't we? And if we die to who? To the Lord. And I looked up a commentary and just added it to what I want to say. For if we live to the Lord, and if we die to the Lord, resigning of life unto Him, and whenever it is His pleasure, and magnifying of Him as by life, so is death, dying to be with Him, to be raised up again, and to live with Him forevermore. Amen? So that encouraging scripture there, that no matter what, you know, if we live, we're here, we're in Christ. If we die, we're still in Christ, because the Spirit lives, and God's given us that promise of living life in eternity. So as we help some other, as opportunities come by, you know, to help someone, you know, take that opportunity, because you don't know what an opportunity will bring. You know, anything could have come out of that lady that Heather helped. You know, we don't know how that touched her inside. She'd probably go home and think, what a lovely person, what a lovely gesture. And I'm sure she did. But, you know, as the opportunities come, don't let it go by, because we don't know how big of impact we can have on someone's life when we take that moment to help someone, all that type of thing. When opportunity knocks, you know, when opportunity knocks, we better answer the door, amen? We better answer, because you may never get that opportunity again. And, you know, in life, opportunities only come once. And we need to grasp hold of these opportunities and as they present themselves. And if we have that opportunity to speak out, to help for the glory of God, well, let's do it. Amen? Let's do it. Don't be shy. And again, in Luke's gospel, chapter 16, verses 19 to 31 there, the rich young ruler there, he longed for the lost opportunities, didn't he? And but he longed for lost opportunities, but he left it too late. And that's for all for us. We don't want to leave it too late and to say, well, I wish I had done that, I should have done that, I could have done that. Well, all the ifs, coulds, maybes, all that sort of thing. When opportunities come, when God presents himself before us, let us enter in, amen? Let us enter in and to be the people that God wants us to be. But we see there in that portion of scripture there, I'd better read, I think, Luke 16. Luke 16, 19 to 31. I won't read it all because you've heard it many times. But this is a story about the rich man and Lazarus. There was a certain rich man who came clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. But there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid at the gate, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. What a terrible existence. And this rich man who had everything, he had a wonderful opportunity to sow into someone's life, to help this poor person. He could have got his sores fixed. He could have fed him, but no, he didn't. He just seemed to look looking into the story a bit that he just seemed to go on eating and that and that. And that type of thing. But so it was that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. And he was buried in torment, and being buried in torments in Hades. He lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. So he would have got a big shock, wouldn't he? He would have got a big shock. Then he cried out and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in the water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented by flame. And so we don't want to be put in that position where we're going to end up like that, regretting opportunities that we never seem to take up. We need to be that people and take up the opportunities. This man had the opportunity to help Lazarus, but he let it go by, and you can see where he ended up. With Lazarus in the arms with the father and the rich ruler, young ruler there, looking on, begging for mercy. We want to be securely in the arms of Jesus. Amen. Securely in the arms of Jesus. And so, as I said, he neglected that opportunity to help the beggar Lazarus, and everything was lost to him forever. So, We can all be needed if we'll only find our place. And that our place, we know, is in the will of God. We need to be in the will of God and all the time. We must believe in God and ourselves and then find that place in life where we can be used, where we can help others, where we can reach out to others, all that type of thing. And the thought I had, you know, God provides, doesn't he? God provides food for the birds, doesn't he? But he does not throw the food in their nest. You get the picture? God provides food for us all, but he does not throw it speaking about the birds there, but he does not throw the food in this. The birds have to go and pick it up, don't they? And the same for us. And God puts many things before it, but we have to reach out and go and to do whatever God asks us to do, and to receive whatever He has to ask. But we have to get moving and to do that. So, but we are required to show a bit of initiative, aren't we? And to do something, and that's something, it's called effort. We have to move ourselves, and to extend yourself, you have to work hard. And as you do, things will happen. Things will happen as you reach out. Things will happen as you ask for God. Things will happen as you help other people and do the things that God wants you to do. Because life is worth living. Amen. And if we are thankful and grateful, being thankful for what, for what we have and where we are in that place, you know. We're in a wonderful position as men and women of God, and God has put us in a great nation. And as we look around us, even in this community, I'm sure as I do, as you do, you see them people. And we drive past a bingo hall nearly every day of the week, and there's a great mob of people out there. And my heart aches that they're thronging there. You see people in all sorts of stages of life, young, elderly, people on, needing aids for their mobility, all that sort of thing. And there they are, all crowding around a bingo hall. And what are they going to do? To empty out their pockets and maybe come out with a little prize or something? But, you know, and some, Pat and I, we always say, oh, that's how our church should be. People thronged out the front there wanting to go in. And these people, they get there at 5 o'clock at night. It doesn't start till 7:30 or something. But they're sitting there at 5 o'clock every night, hail, rain or shine. And that's how we should be. You know, these people, they don't know God, they don't know Jesus, and yet they're just thronging, rushing to get there. That's how we should be. We are eager, we want throngs of people, you know, just waiting to come in so they can get a seat up the front or something. But like I said, being grateful, being thankful always, as the scripture says in Ephesians 5:20, it says, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thankful people, thankful hearts, grateful hearts. And and so there we just see that giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of Jesus Christ. And the meaning here is that thanks are to be given especially to God the Father, who is what? Who is the source of all blessings. Amen. God is our source. We know that. Everything belongs to God. Everything comes from God. God cares for us. He supplies our needs. We lack nothing in Him. And again, I'd say, you know, it's easy, isn't it, just to receive the blessing of God, everything that God does for us each and every day, for what He's done on this day, or for what He's just taken us through. And yet sometimes we just don't stop and say or think, oh, thanks God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. It should be a part of our speech, should just come in like that, but we're a little bit slow sometimes. But as the scripture tells us, you know, we're to give thanks with a grateful heart. We need to be ready and willing and to know how to enjoy life in that sense, and how to love life regardless of what is going on in and around us. And so it's coming to a close, you know, are we willing to allow God's word to speak to us? Are we ready to hear what God has to say that will bring healing and us to that place where we will see that, you know, each one of us were created for a reason, and to know in your heart, in our own hearts, that God has given me this life, that God has given you that life, your life. And for us to be able to say, yes, I am going to live this life and serving him. And as I said a moment back there, we don't want to be left wondering, do we? We want to have that full assurance, that have be assured that at the end of the day, you know, when we put our head down on the pillow, are we left with more questions than answers? We don't want to be that type of people. We want to be able to say, yes, it was a good day. It was a good day. And so we need to be that type of people to rejoice and be glad and be able to say, yes, a good day. And life is worth the living because he lives. And we don't want to have a bad attitude, questioning God as where he was today. You know, we don't want to have that. If we ask God and say, well, where were you today, God? And God will say, well, where were you? God will say, oh, I was here all the time, but where were you? Where were you? Where were you? So I ask the question, is everything in your life falling to pieces? I trust not. I trust not. And just ask, is the love that you once felt for other people being replaced with a who cares attitude? There's so much of that in the world today, isn't it? Who cares? So what? Happened every day. That's the stock answer. We don't want to be that type of people. We want to be a caring, loving people, concerned about others, being concerned. Ask, is the joy and peace gone from your home? Home needs to be a happy place, a place where the whole family wants to live, to be there. I ask, are your good days few and far between? And so this morning, you know, we all know, the Word of God speaks to every part of our life, doesn't it? To every part of our life, and especially when we're searching for answers, when real meanings as to real joy and happiness. You know, we can find that here. We have an answer. We can find it here in the Word of God. We can get so much encouragement just through looking at the Word of God, because no other source can speak to these needs like God's Word. Amen. God meets our needs in every circumstances, every way, every day. Amen. Amen. And as I said, no other source. And it's only through living our lives in obedience to the will of God. If we live our lives to the will of God, and that's what God wants for our life, then we will be able to live this life worth living. Amen? Amen. Bless you all. And Father God, again, I just thank you, Lord, for you, again, giving us the opportunity to speak your word. Father, I just thank you for the word you laid on my heart. I thank you, Father God, Lord, for everything that we've spoken about here this morning. Father, Lord, where need is needed, we pray, Father God, you will meet that need. Father God, where help is needed, again, you will be there, Lord. Lord, if people are not feeling well or feeling despondent, Father, because of circumstances in life, Father, we just trust to you, Lord God, that you will give an answer, Lord. You will reason things out with those who are seeking you, Father. You'll be able to show them your ways, Lord, as they look to you. But, Father, for this day, Lord, we just thank you that we've been able to come here this morning, Father, to be a wonderful part of your kingdom. We could come in rejoice and be glad and praise and worship you, Father. Lord, we just thank you for that freedom that you give us, Lord. Lord, that we can praise and worship you and just look to you, because you are the source of all things and all life and all blessing. And for that, we praise you and we thank your mighty name. Amen.